Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Oh, let our mouths be filled with your praises today, O Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Lord, we want to say thank you to you. We want to proclaim your goodness. We want to thank you for your mercy and your faithfulness this morning. We love you, Lord. You never fail. You are our God, the rock of our salvation, the rock of truth, salvation, and justice. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you, in your mercy, and praise your holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I have a treat for all of you who are here on time. I read this July 4th, so I can't help it. It's in our book, Loyal Responses. For day four, it's one of my favorite ones, and I'm going to read it again. If you're on staff and you didn't get one of these books, you are entitled to one, so make sure you get one. If you're on staff and you haven't read one of these books, you are required to read it, or I trust that you will read it, let's say. If you're a guest and you want one of these books, they have them down in the store. Right, Heidi? There's still some? Okay. You may purchase one. And this one poem is worth a billion times what it might cost. And there are 31 of them in here. Okay, so try to figure that out. Here you go. The Unfailing One. Maybe you read this already today, but this one bears repeating. He faileth not. That's our God. Everyone else fails. He faileth not. He who hath led will lead all through the wilderness. He who hath fed will feed. He who hath blessed will bless. He who hath heard thy cry will never close his ear. He who hath marked thy faintest sigh will not forget thy tear. He loveth always, faileth never. So rest on him. Today, forever. He who hath made thee whole will heal thee day by day. He who hath spoken to thy soul hath many things to say. He who hath gently taught, yet more will make thee know. He who so wondrously hath wrought, yet greater things will show. He loveth always, faileth never. So rest on him today, forever. He who hath made thee nigh will draw thee nearer still. He who hath given the first supply will satisfy and fill. He who hath given thee grace, yet more and more will send. He who hath set thee in the race will speed thee to the end. He loveth always, faileth never, so rest on him today, forever. He who hath won thy heart will keep it true and free. He who hath shown thee what thou art will show himself to thee. He who hath bid thee live and made thy life his own, life more abundantly will give and keep it his alone. He loveth always, faileth never, so rest on him today forever. Then trust him for today as thine unfailing friend, and let him lead thee all the way who loveth to the end, and let the morrow rest in his beloved hand. His good is better than our best, as we shall understand, if trusting him who faileth never, we rest on him today forever. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me, praise the Lord. I can testify to that this morning when I hear Matthew play the violin, I'm so happy. I hope you are. I know you are. I hope he is. Amen. Anyway, my mind goes back, and I remember that it was 50 years ago this week that I started taking violin lessons, and that lasted for a number of years. I practiced every day, and then I let it get rusty, you know, and I'm glad that I can hear him play. So I'm kind of, it's kind of a vicarious playing here when I hear him. When I hear him playing, I'm so thankful that he hasn't gotten rusty yet. Just a little, maybe. No. The other day we were both visiting in the hospital emergency room, and we had to do with one of the doctors there, a lovely young lady. And well, Matt was there with my sister, and then I came to, I guess, relieve him to stay with her a little while, and so he said, "That's the doctor you want to talk to about what's going on today." And so we went, we were talking to her, and then Matthew said, "Excuse me, I've been talking to you all day. I just have to ask you this. You look so familiar to me. Did you graduate from Stuyvesant in 1998? Well, it turns out that she did, and they were in the same class and in the same orchestra. And I said to her, just guessing, I didn't know they were at that point that they were in the orchestra. She was a cellist. I said, "Oh, I bet I saw you. I bet I was at a concert, maybe you were at, or a parent-teacher's thing." And she was, anyway, it made me remember that all that music stuff. And my mind went back to 50 years ago when they started me off. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. I think I expressed that I wanted to, and that's why it got going. But sometimes adults hear your wishes, and they kind of press them on you, you know. Well, I'm glad that I got involved with music, and I'm glad that he did too. Another thing that happened just 50 years ago this summer was, of course, I was just a little kid, it was during that summer that I began to feel in my heart that I needed Jesus. I recall how when they would talk about, being a sinner, I felt like the greatest sinner. And when they talked about Jesus dying for our sins, I just felt my need of the Savior. I remember our Sunday school leader, Sister Eleanor Purrs. Sometimes I'd be crying in Sunday school, and more than once she took me out of the room. We sat on the steps together. She opened the Bible. She had one of these Oxford Bibles that were so popular then, and we'd read, "If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." And she'd point these texts out, and she'd tell me about Jesus dying for my sins and how I could open my heart to him. And I thank God for her and the blessing that she was to me at that time. And then it was at home one day that I suddenly came under this conviction. I know that it was real, even though I was very young. And I called to my mother. She came, and she also opened the Bible with me and prayed with me and led me to open my heart to Jesus. That was the first week of August, 1958. I remember that time with great thanksgiving in my heart. Because from that time on, I always knew that Jesus was my Savior and that he lived in my heart. And of course, when you have an experience like that at such a young age, it must be renewed and it becomes more real to you and precious to you. Well, let me just say that I always felt that Jesus was my Savior and that I had life eternal in him, and that he had come to me and he was living in my heart and that he was with me. And I just think of his great mercy and his great faithfulness over all these years. And then I think it was in the last week of July, my sister said to me, oh, I wish I could talk to Antia. Because 49 years ago, that was my twin sister, in the cottage, I gave my heart to Jesus. I think it was that day. She said it was today. And I'm just remembering it. And it came back to me this morning. This is the reason that I say it. Just a little personal testimony. Thanking God for his great goodness and faithfulness throughout all the years. When we're unfaithful, when we waver, he is always true. And Grace testified that it was when the next year, 1959, in the cottage that she gave her heart to Jesus. And I remember that it was during that year that Sister Antia, she was our counselor, and Sister Elsie Klaus, the other one, taught us a number of songs. And one of them, Brother Paul, was playing before the meeting. And it all came back to me, and that's why you're listening to this right now. He played, "Give Me Thy Heart, Give Me Thy Heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, Give Me Thy Heart." And the first verse says, "Give me thy heart," says the Father above. No gift so precious to him as our love. No gift so precious to him as our love. And if you just think about that for a minute, and it's good always to think about these things that we read and sing. That love all comes from him. We love him because he first loved us. And that which is precious to him and that which he requires of us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the great commandment, the greatest. Jesus said so. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, thy neighbor as thyself. That's a requirement. That's something that's precious to him, but it's something that he works in us. He gives us everything that we need to please him, to obey him. It comes from him. That's so precious and so wonderful. No one ever kept that command. You ever think of that? Did anyone ever keep that command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? Anyone in the history of mankind, I think you could say no one ever kept that command except for one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved his Father and without any mixture or any reserve. But it's a command. So he's got to work it in me. And he does. I never loved him with all my heart for 5 minutes. But Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus has saved me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. He loves me with an everlasting love. God has loved me and drawn me with loving kindness to his heart. And this which is precious to him and this which he requires of me is granted me by him. Because he's such a gracious and such a faithful God. So merciful, I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses. I will forgive their iniquities. I will remember them no more. How wonderful a Savior and how mighty a Savior Jesus is. So let's sing his praises and love him with all of our hearts. So I felt it was something that I owed him to give this testimony this morning, 50 years ago, this week it was, when my mom just led me, we just knelt together and we came to Jesus and he came to me. And I'm so thankful for that. And he started me off that week to playing my instrument and he put a new song in my heart. I love to sing. And that's another song that Brother Paul was playing, 453. Let's sing it together. 4:5-3. Maybe before we sing, one more thing, all right? You got a little more patience? This guy, Luther, what does it say? Bridgers, I think his name. He had an experience, and it makes this song mean that much more if you know something about it. And I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but he was a young man who loved the Lord. And God called him to serve him and preach for him. And he became an evangelist. And he went all over traveling and preaching the gospel. And he had a lovely wife and a young family, a number of children. Just little kids they were at this point in the story. And so once when he was traveling, his wife went to visit her parents with the kids. And he was evangelizing, and during that time, serving Jesus, preaching the gospel, while he was holding these meetings, and the whole family was together in the grandparents' home, the house burned down, and his wife and all his children were taken from him. It's just such an awful thing to even think of. He lost everything that really mattered to him in this life anyway, on that one day with that fire. And of course he was greatly affected. Can you imagine? You can't imagine unless you've had something like that. And along the way, someone, God sent this person, I'm sure. Someone said to Luther Bridgers, "If you don't sing, you won't make it." And that's the experience out of which this song was born. He found that God could give him a song in the night, in the darkest night, and God brought him through. And it's a cheerful song. And the only reference you could have to that is in the fourth verse, where it says, "Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing." I'm sure that many of his longings were wrapped up in those that he lost. But he found Jesus in a greater way, and was able to testify with this song. Sometimes we sing it in the hospital when we're ministering there. And I think, especially when I'm leading, you see the title there, "He Keeps Me Singing." And maybe it's we've already been going for an hour and a half, and I think they look at that title and think of me. When is he going to stop? He keeps me singing. But, I mean my singers out there, you know, that are so faithful helping me minister. But it means Jesus. The Lord put a song in my heart, and he put it there to be sung. So let's sing it. 4:5-3.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name. fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
All the men on the next verse, and then everybody on the chorus.
Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way.
All together.
Jesus, Jesus.
Have the ladies sing the last verse, okay? And we'll all join you on the chorus. Soon He's coming back.
Soon He's coming back to welcome me, party on the starry sky. I shall wait my flight through worlds unknown. I shall wait with Him on high.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We have to sing that with you one more time.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
I'm so happy that you're here again. And that I'm here with you, and all of you, just using him as a, because he was here first period and now again, and I'm just so glad to be here with you. I'm glad that the Lord is with us and that this group is special to him, every one of you. He has something to say to you, and he looks for a loyal response from you and from me this week, a loyal response. And he can work it by his grace in our hearts. His Holy Spirit, he sheds forth his Spirit. Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in my heart. Work. Work in me that love for Jesus that I don't have in myself, that I might truly love you with all my heart. Help me, Lord. You gave me ears. Help me to hear you. Help me to listen. You gave me eyes. You gave me eyes in my heart to see you. Help me to look and see you, Lord. Oh God, let your Spirit come. Shed abroad the Savior's love in our hearts. Holy Spirit, awaken us. Shine a bright light on Jesus. Help us to see him in all his beauty and his glory. Help us to hear him. Help us to respond to him. Precious Jesus, let everyone in this place, everyone in this place see you and hear you and respond to you in these days. Jesus, be greatly manifest in our midst. Greatly, Lord. Help us to lose sight of all else but of you. Help us to hear. Help us to see. Help us to open our hearts and yield to you and respond to you, that you might fill us, that you might change us, that you might have your way, that you might be glorified among us. Precious Lord, Jesus, Jesus, we pray that you will make yourself so real and precious. Holy Spirit, make Jesus big among us. Greater, greater than ever before in our individual lives, in our midst. Oh God, that your Spirit might be poured out upon us today. Oh, let us respond to you. You who have loved us so and given yourself for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.